Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last program, we began to look at the doctrine of abrogation. And this is a doctrine which can only be found in Islam. That is, when Allah abrogate, meaning cancel, erase, delete, replace His words in the Quran to say the opposite of that which He gave to Muhammad earlier. We found a good example in the end of our last broadcast about the satanic verses. These are the verses which Muhammad added to the Quran to help the infidels of his days to become Muslims. That is when he praised their gods and they loved it and they all worshiped with him using such verses in their Muslim prayer. But then Allah corrected these verses by asking Muhammad to write the new verses in replacement of the old verses. And the good excuse Muhammad used that this is not unusual, for all the prophets who came before him have the same problem. That is, as they wish, Satan added to the words of God to them, which is known to be the satanic verses. But Allah fixed his own words. Even Muslim scholars know that the doctrine of abrogation only belong to Islam. And they said the reason Allah did that in the Quran is just because he wanted his Islam to be easier for people. As if he, Allah, the God of Muhammad, gave commands in the Quran in the beginning. And then he discovered that somehow it was hard for the people to practice it. That's why he gives them new verses which makes his laws easier so they can all be happy and practice the new commands. Now, Muslim scholars disagree about this very important doctrine in many ways. For example, some of them said only the Quran can abrogate the Quran, which means only Allah in the Quran can change his mind about the Quran. And that's exactly what we just read in Quran chapter 2 and verse 106. Whatever verse we abrogate or cause it to be forgotten, we bring a better verse than it or like it. Do you not know that Allah has might over all things? Which means nobody else has the power or the authority to change the word of Allah, except Allah Himself, and He will bring the new verses in His Quran. But in reality, my friends, we know that the Quran was abrogated by the Sunnah, and the Sunnah is how Muhammad practiced his Islam. So whatever Muhammad did goes above the powerful words of Allah in the Quran, which is a great evidence that these scholars were wrong by claiming only the Quran abrogates the Quran. For Muhammad, in his own actions, abrogated the Quran, which goes once again in the opposite of the teachings of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who assured us in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one tittle, not one word of his law will pass until all is fulfilled. Now let's go to the second opinion of those so-called Muslim scholars who stated that abrogation in Islam can only be found in the commands of Allah, like do this or do not do that, or even of telling the news concerning the commands of Allah. As we read in Quran chapter 24, verse 3, the following. The male fornicator cannot have sex. He meant marry except with a female fornicator or a female polytheist. And the female fornicator cannot have sex. He meant marry except with a male fornicator or a male polytheist. And this is forbidden for the believers. Or abrogation can be in telling the news, as we read In the case of Joseph in Quran chapter 12 and verse 47, that is, when Allah said, you will sow 7 years continually, so whatever you harvest, so leave in its heads of grain, except a little of what you eat, meaning you farm your land. So Allah here is giving an order in the tilling of what is yet to come in the life of Joseph in Egypt. And those scholars said, as for tilling the accounts of what happened, there is no such a thing as abrogation, which itself is amazing. For we know throughout the pages of the Quran, whenever Muhammad repeats a story, he always tells us the same story with many contradictions. And when you talk to the Muslim people, they will not have an answer except that these verses has been abrogated. Wait a minute. What do you mean has been abrogated? That the story you're telling me about Moses is accurate or not? Let me give you an example. Did Pharaoh kill the children of Israel when Moses was a baby, or did he kill the male of the children of Israel when Moses was a grown-up man? These two different stories are written in the Quran. This is a contradiction. Let me give you another example. Did Pharaoh drown as an infidel in the Red Sea, or did Pharaoh believed in Allah and Allah saved his body as it is written in the Quran? Both stories are in the Quran. This is what we call pure contradiction, which is a great evidence that the Quran cannot be the words of God. But somehow the doctrine of abrogation is the answer of all Muslims who believe in Islam, those who believe in Muhammad. So once again, the claim of such scholars that there is no abrogation of telling the stories of the past, this itself is a lie. As we see throughout the pages of the Quran, many contradictions concerning the telling of the stories of what Muhammad called the prophets of the past. Third group of Muslim scholars give us the following answer. Whenever Muhammad see that there is a command or an order will not help his people to have victory, he immediately changed these commands. And he always says that this new command is the new verses which Allah used in the Quran to abrogate that which was written in the previous commands. For example, Muhammad used to pray towards Mecca, and many people saw him, and he did that for years. So Muhammad and his companions made the direction of the prayer towards the Kaaba in Mecca. But when he immigrated to the city of Yathrib, a Jewish community, he began to pray towards Jerusalem. And he did that for 16 or 17 months. And he did that for the hope that the Jewish people will like him and they may follow him and believe in him. That's why the Jewish people said, Muhammad goes against our religion, even though he prayed towards Jerusalem as we do. When he saw that this will not help him to gain the heart of the Jewish people, he changed once again the direction for his prayer back to where he used to be, towards Mecca. So many of the Jewish people, the wise one, the one who have some logic or common sense, left Muhammad. And they said, now Muhammad follow the religion of his fathers. He left the direction of the prayer for the Jews, which is the true direction. That's why many of the people in Muhammad days said, Muhammad cannot be without two different opinions. If he is true, now, that means he left the truth which he used to live on. But if he is in falsehood now, so why do we need to follow him? A good example for Muhammad changing his mind is the matter of killing, which we see in the last 10 years of his life. When Muhammad was weak and he was living with his enemies, when he did not have enough people to fight, he was so nice even to his enemies. But when he became strong, he provoked his believers to engage in war and to kill all those who will not submit to Islam. As it is written by Al-Arabi, that all that which was written in the Quran concerning forgiveness to the infidels and living in peace with them all these verses were abrogated by one verse, which is Quran chapter 9, verse 5, which is very well known by all Muslim scholars, the verse of the sword. That one verse, my dear friends, cancel, erase, deleted, abrogated 124 verses throughout the pages of the Quran. And here is what Allah said in Quran chapter 9 and verse 5. So when the forbidden months are passed, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent, that is convert to Islam, and perform the prayer, and gave the legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. That verse, my dear friends, gives the non-Muslims only three options: that their men be killed, their women and their children to be taken as captives, or they must convert to Islam. That verse Allah used in the Quran to cancel, to erase, to delete all the previous 124 verses which teach to live in harmony with others. And the Muslims of America will continue to read these abrogated verses until when they have the upper hand. And when that day comes, then it will be too late for the Americans to protect themselves from the savage Muslim believers who believe in the final word of Allah, Quran chapter 9 and verse 5.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
And here is another example of abrogation in the Quran. In Quran chapter 2 and verse 248, we read, "To Allah what is in the heavens and what is on the earth. And if you reveal what is in yourselves or hide it, Allah will call you to account by it. So He will forgive whom He wills and He will torment whom He wills. And Allah is mighty over all things." When Muslim believers heard that verse, they complained to Muhammad, "This is difficult. How can we live like that? Just because we think of something, Allah will punish us for it." And when Muhammad heard the complaint of his companions, he quickly wrote to them the new verse. That is verse 286. And there we read, "Allah will not burden any soul except its ability. It will receive what it's earned, and it will pay what it earned. Our Lord, do not hold us responsible if we forget or fall into sin." And if you listen to the rest of that verse, you will see that somehow it sounds like a prayer. How can Allah say, "Our Lord, our Lord, our Lord"? Obviously, Muhammad added that verse in the end of Quran chapter 2 to comfort his people who complain about how can Allah punish them for even their thoughts. Now we ask the question, did Allah not know that verse 284 is a difficult verse? So why did Allah put that verse in the Quran to start with? If Allah is God, he should know exactly what will come out of his words and how people will react to his words. And if he's planning to give a new verses anyway, why he gave the old verses? Another amazing contradiction, or you can call one of the secrets of the doctrine of abrogation, is Muhammad's reaction to the question of the people concerning a verse he mentioned in his Quran. And that is Quran chapter 4 and verse 17. For there we read, surely the repentance is only from Allah to those who do the evil in ignorance and then soon repent. So those are whom Allah relents on, and Allah was knowing wise. When the Muslim believers heard that verse, they asked Muhammad, how long was the period between the man who sin and repent and the receiving of the forgiveness of Allah? Muhammad answered, it have to be 1 year before he dies. But people said, well, that's so far. So Muhammad changed his mind and he said, whoever repent half a year before he died, Allah will accept his repentance. And people said, that's still too much. Then Muhammad said, whoever repent 1 month before he died, Allah will accept his repentance. But people said, but 1 month still too long. Then Muhammad said, whoever repent 1 week before he die, Allah will accept his repentance. And people still complain to Muhammad, that is still too much. Then Muhammad said, whoever repent 1 day before he die, Allah will accept his repentance. Once again, people complain, oh Muhammad, that's still too much. Then Muhammad said, whoever repented 1 hour before he died, Allah will accept his repentance. Then he said, even if that is too much, Allah will accept the repentance, even a little bit, just before the person die. Muhammad ended that Allah's forgiveness is near those who will repent. Can you imagine with me? We move from 1 year to half a year, to a month, to a week, to a day, to an hour, to just a few minutes before the person die. Why we have these so many different opinions of Muhammad? It's very simple, because he did not know, and he will do everything he can to please his people. Because in reality, if a person will sin and God will only accept the repentance of that person even an hour before he die, that means there is zero chance for anybody to be saved. Because what happened if somebody sinned and he asked forgiveness, but it was less than an hour? When he really truly repented to Allah, that means that person will never receive forgiveness. But thank God for the true biblical teaching. Because if a man cry out, save me, the Lord Jesus will save him. As we see that on the cross, when the thief who is about to die, he said to the Lord Jesus, remember me, Lord, when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus did not say, wait a minute, you have to repent a year or half a year or a month before you die. No, immediately Jesus said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. Now let me share with you the fourth important opinion of Muslim scholars concerning the doctrine of abrogation, which is there are three types of abrogations. First, verses which abrogated words and actions, which means the verses is removed from the Quran. You will not find it there, because after Allah gave these verses to Muhammad, he removed the verses from the Quran, and therefore Muslims do not have to practice such verses. As for the second type of abrogation, according to Muslim scholars, it is the verses of the Quran has been replaced with new verses, even that we still read the old verses in the Quran. But Muslims must practice the new verses, not the old verses. And that is when you read many of the early Mekki and even early Medini verses, where it does not teach Muslims to be savage. These are the verses which teach no compulsion in religion. Quran chapter 2 and verse 256. or to you, your religion, and to me, my religion, in Quran chapter 109 and verse 6. And Muslims, as I said earlier, love to quote these verses to tell the Americans that in Islam there is freedom of religion, where in reality, these verses has been abrogated by Quran chapter 9 verse 5, the verse of the sword. So even though both verses are written in the Quran, Muslims knew that the old verses are abrogated and they only practice the new verses. As for the third type of abrogation, which is when Allah removes the verses from the Quran, which means when you go to the Quran, you will never find these verses written anywhere. But in the same time, Allah wants the Muslim believers to practice its commands. And Muslim scholars give us the reason why Allah does that. It's because he wants to test his Muslim believers to see, are they willing to obey him even in the verses which he removed from the Quran? What a strange Allah and what a strange religion. Because if Allah is God, he would not have removed one verse from his Quran, but he will make it all clear, and then he will ask the Muslim believers to practice every verse in the Quran. But obviously, this is a mystery, the mystery of abrogation, and we must ask the question, how can Allah be God ordering the Muslim believers to practice verses which he removed from his own book, the Quran? A good example of verses removed from the Quran and Muslims still practice its command. That is the stoning for those who commit adultery. For we know that Muhammad read to his companion the verse of the stoning which he used to teach, and the old man and the old woman, so stoned them completely as a punishment for the enjoyment they receive from their adultery. And until today, my dear friends, Muslims stone those who commit adultery, even though that verse is no longer in the pages of the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.